Now.
Welcome. For your listening pleasure, we invite ears of all shapes, colors, and sizes to experience the Audio Files Podcast.
Thank you all for coming today. It's not an easy day. I really appreciate everyone being here. Today, I'd like to announce my official retirement from the game of chasing booty. I found someone who really makes me happy, who, quite frankly, no one compares to or comes close to. However, I do want to thank all the hoochies who were down for a one-night stand, especially after the party. I learned a lot from you. I also know that I had good numbers back in college, and, you know, I was able to bring that into what most would consider my prime. Although I feel like I'm still in my prime, but I just want to go out on top, which is ironic because I'd rather be behind or have her on top. I guess what I'm trying to say is that I'm thankful for every boyfriend who ever fucked up and didn't pay attention to the girl. Made it really easy for me to slide in and, you know, basically be a fucking dick to ride on. I couldn't have done it without you. But as the saying goes, all good things must come to an end. At this point, I'll take any questions.
Anthony, can I get a question?
Yeah, sure. Go for it.
What do you say to the baby mamas that have kids that need Christmas presents coming up?
You know, every year there's a new batch of, like, young cats who are just willing to fucking do whatever it takes, you know. So if I were you, I'd hit up the clubs, go 24-hour fitness. Like, you'll be all right. You'll find somebody. Trust me.
Thank you.
Yeah. Then thank you.
Oh, Anthony.
Yeah.
Anthony.
Yes, right, yes. You with the hair.
Name's Addison from Big Booty Magazine.
Not familiar with that. Not familiar with that subscription.
I'm sorry to hear that. Now that it's sorry, I'm getting choked up. But now that
it's okay,
your run's over. I must ask you, was pimping easy?
I can definitely say, although a lot of people say it is, I can honestly tell you that it's not easy. It takes a lot of hard work and dedication. I mean, you're moving a lot of things around, legs, body parts, like, you know, it's not easy. You know, there's a lot of things to keep track of, and but I'll tell you this, though, it's definitely worth it.
One more here, Anthony.
Yeah, you.
Are you worried at all that your the back of your hand will become frail?
Can you elaborate, please?
Well, you know, you've been using it so often every day for the last 7 years, and, you know, if you don't use it, you lose it. So are you worried about that at all?
Oh, no, yeah, I'll still be in the gym using it, you know what I mean? Like, it's not gonna, there's not gonna be no atrophy, if that's what you mean. It'll get used, for sure. It's just not as, with various amount of people. It's going to be probably the same person. You know? So, I'll be all right. That's all my time for today, everybody. I want to thank everyone who ever showed up. I love all you. Thank you for those who were fans of my play. Hopefully I taught you something. Just be as freaky as you can be and be yourself. And, yeah. What up, everybody? We are back. This is the Audio Files. So far, as of right now, this is my official retirement from the game of chasing booty. But, you know, as always, I'll still be here on the Audio Files. What up, everybody? It's your boy Ant. I got my boy Bebo in the house. Bebo, say what's up, dog.
I go by Bebo, and I'm still that wily old veteran that, you know, maybe lost a step or two, but still gets it done.
Oh, yeah. He's definitely fucking willing to come off the bench for 20 minutes. Like,
exactly.
He's still got it in him.
Average is still decent.
Role player. still, as always, we got the Stallion up in the building. What's up, homie?
What's going on, y'all? It's Patty. I guess I'll be the water boy off for the team. I don't know. Just moral, he's there for help out somehow.
He's there for moral support. Yeah, like, go.
Go sports. I did want to before we start the pod. I did want to announce something. I was donned a new nickname. It's not as breaking news as Ant's news, but I need to announce my new nickname that was donned upon my friends over at the Works podcast. Shout out to my buddies Ray, Rob, and Chris. But now I'll be known as Addison, aka Addy the Stallion, aka Addy the Batty with a Fatty. Call me what you want, as long as it's one of those three.
Multi,
or just Daddy.
Ooh, multi.
They're not wrong.
No, multi-dimensional. I love it. He's evolving. Oh man. Speaking of fatties, if you probably heard of Mr. Danny Brown, and you would probably want to roll a fatty and listen to some Danny Brown. B-Will brought us, man. He brought us JPEG Mafia, Scaring these Hoes EP, and he also brought us Bad Bad Not Good Good. Let me see, what was the title of that album? New Heart Designs EP, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What made you bring these to the group today, sir?
Man, they just randomly popped on my radar. I know that Danny Brown and JPEG linked for an album, which I'd still like to review eventually, but this will have to do. So, yeah, they just popped up on Apple Music. I caught them, and I was like, let's go ahead and review these two.
Hell yeah. Man, first initial thoughts, people. We'll go with you since it's your pick this week. For those of you that are not familiar with what we do here on the Audiophiles, each week one of our members selects an album, or in this case, two EPs for us to check out. We listen to them throughout the week, and then we come back and let you know our initial thoughts, our favorite beats, favorite tracks, maybe least favorite tracks, any notable mentions, bars, concepts that stood out to us, any other music that we refer to by the artist featured today, and then we give it a rating, have some news. As of right now, Bebo, your initial thoughts, sir?
Yeah, so I'm going to get into a little bit of background for Danny Brown and JPEG Mafia. Both of the EPs that we're doing today are collab EPs, as we were mentioning. I want to start with Danny Brown. I know I've mentioned him a lot. He's a rapper from Detroit, Michigan.
Detroit!
And he got his start back where, you know, Ant's boy Eminem is from. And I think the link up with JPEG came on his fifth studio album back in 2019, where JPEG Mafia had a couple production credits and even a feature on Danny's album, You Know What I'm Saying. And I think, you know, they're both classified in that kind of weirdo rap lane. And they're both characters, man, to say the least. So I was curious what their music would sound like. As I mentioned, they did release a full studio album this year called Scaring the Hoes Volume 1. I'm assuming this project right here is leftovers from that album, and this one is called Scaring the Hoes DLC Pack. Danny Brown, like Freddie Gibbs, is just super immersed into the comedy world himself, and he's just quite the personality. Going as far as moving to Austin, Texas, and being with all the comedians, he's linked up with comedian Tom Segura and his wife. They own a production company on YouTube called YMH Studios, and they gave him his own platform, a podcast which I've mentioned on here several times called The Danny Brown Show. And it's fucking hilarious, man. He's quite the character. A lot of people also don't know there's a reference in this EP that Danny Brown could have almost was a member of G-Unit, funny enough, because he was running with Tony Yayo, believe it or not.
Shit.
And they have a collab project that you can find on streaming services. I'm not sure what it's called. I forget what it's called. I probably should have done the research on that. But yeah, they have a collab project together. 50 Cent wasn't feeling his dress attire, Danny Brown's dress attire. And he said, you can't be in G-Unit.
Like, no, that's not gangster enough, dog.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what happened. Like, so he had to find a way, man. And he went the independent route. He came up during that mixtape blog era. And JPEG Mafia, I don't know too much about him. I know he's from Baltimore, Maryland, and his style of hip hop is really out there. It's very different. What I do like about his music is just his album titles, and the track titles are some of the most creative things I've ever seen. The music itself isn't really for me, but for instance, his 2019 album is called All My Heroes Are Cornballs, and he has track names like Jesus Forgive Me, I Am a Thought, Keenan versus Kel, Basic bitch tear gas.
Hell yeah.
Buttermilk Jesus type beat. So I thought that's hilarious. And again, I wanted to see what this album would be like, or EP, I should say. And man, it was just what you'd expect from two crazy motherfuckers. The production is out there with some very obscure sampling. The lyrics are pretty funny. You know, both of them had some shit that was making me laugh. And I understand this kind of hip hop isn't for everyone, but just considering that I'm the type of dude that likes stuff to be experimental, unique, and kind of out there, I did enjoy this one quite a lot for the underground feel of it, how different the production was. You know, it's not, I don't know. Maybe Addison can share if he thinks if this is the kind of beats Danny usually chooses. I'm not sure, but it was even cool to get a track where Danny's a little more subdued on one of them. So it was a perfect balance, man, of just, like I said, experimental, out there, and lyrics that made me laugh. So those were my initial reactions.
Hell yeah. I'll go next, man. Like people said, there is definitely an element of things being crazy out there. Like it's really out there. The production, the sampling is obscure. It's creative. It's experimental. For me, I don't know. It's like off the bat, I feel like on this project, Danny Brown was kind of taking off. Like, you know how like Andre 3 Stacks kind of goes like in a fucking weird, obscure like lane. And I feel like he kind of like his whole style on this EP project was kind of just like taking that off, like in that lane. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I can see that, cause, I don't know, for me, when I like Danny Brown when he's doing, like, his harder, like, Detroit shit, you know what I mean? But, yeah. like I can see what he's trying to do in this project, where as far as, like, being experimental and being a little off-key. But, like I said, for me, it sounded like he was just kind of running with Andre 3 Stacks kind of style. Like, I'm going to be weird just for the sake of being weird. And, like, I noticed, like, this shit was labeled as, like, alternative rap. And that's what I will say. It is basically alternative rap. And then we also got to remember a lot of rap is basically parody. And with that being said, it's like I feel like this type of rap does have a place in hip hop. Like, you know what I mean? Like I love the fact that people can go there and be experimental and stuff like that. But it's just, as far as like my taste, I love when people are being lyricists with a purpose. I mean, to me, this is kind of like Tyler, Creator meets fucking Andre 3000, just trying to be weird for the sake of being weird. And even with the sampling, it was just kind of like, I'm just going to rap over somebody already kind of singing right now. And it's just like, and for me, like, it drowned out, like, what they were saying. And so it was just kind of like, like, you know, but, like I said, though, I feel like this type of rap definitely does need to exist in order for the whole spectrum of hip hop to continue. It's just like, I wasn't fucking with it. That's just me though.
I can see that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know, so like, but I do appreciate its existence. You know what I mean? Like there has to be like a Missy Elliott in order to push it to the envelope. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, but it's just like, it's a shame though. Cause like, I feel like if we do were to listen to the fucking actual album, I probably would like it. You know what I'm saying? As far as this EP, I'm like, I wasn't fucking with it, but I could see where the direction that they're headed to. You know what I'm saying? So, go ahead and pass off to you, Addison. What were you thinking when you initially heard this?
So I would say I'm semi-familiar with Danny Brown. I think the reason why I like him so much is cause he's so batshit crazy.
Yeah.
And him with JPEG, I'm not too familiar with JPEG, but I probably, those two guys in a room together probably are just like people said, some crazy motherfuckers. So
yeah,
this is when I started hearing it, this is exactly what I've kind of expected from it. I didn't get to re-listen too much to the full length project, but I did hear like some tracks, and it's kind of in that similar lane. This EP definitely made me want to check that one out, because like you said, maybe these are just like kind of throwaways, or like it said, it's a DLC pack. It's like extra tracks from this album.
Yeah.
But you know, I liked the whole concept of it. And like you said, the lyrics were hilarious and sometimes are pretty cool. And for me, like I said, it's kind of batshit crazy is what it is, and what's kind of like what I fuck with. I could see where it can get a little out there, and for a lot of, like you said, it won't be for a lot of people, but I don't know. For me, it's definitely, I think hearing this was kind of good, because it definitely makes me want to really check out the full-length project.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of with Bebo overall. I think I really enjoyed it. And I think Danny Brown's, I love Danny Brown, dude. I think he's Filipino, or like half Filipino. So
yeah,
I always fucking with him.
and he's been crazy, for the record. Like if you know, I don't I genuinely don't believe he did it for the EP. I mean, he's been crazy.
Yeah, you know.
So, but he's another character who is sobering up, man. He quit the drugs and drinking and stuff recently, so that's pretty interesting.
Hell yeah.
He's still crazy, so that's what.
But he's still crazy, exactly.
Which is great.
That's all that matters. Please don't change. All right, gentlemen, we're going to go ahead and go with favorite beats off of this project. B, we'll go with you first since it's your pick today, sir.
Yes, considering it's only four tracks, you know, we usually do our three favorite beats. I'm going to go with my favorite two. I'm going to go with Guess What Bitch We Back, because the track it samples is the Nivea track Don't Mess With My Man featuring Jagged Edge, and I fucking love that song and the fact that JPEG was able to flip that. I loved it. And then the track Hermanos, the Spanish sample in the back, I thought was clean too, and went with the whole kind of theme of what the track is about. So those would be my top two, I would say.
Hell yeah, I'm definitely gonna go with Hermanos too as well for the same reasons. And then Tell Me Where to Go, just because it was like a nice contrast for, you know, like to kind of slow down and kind of just like opposites. Like I feel like the whole project was kind of like boom boom boom, like showing me how crazy I am, and like Tell Me Where to Go is kind of like a nice slow down. So I like the contrast on that. What about you, Addison?
Yeah, I think we're all agreeing with Hermanos. I definitely like the little beat, the little ending that they do with the beat. I think that's pretty dope. And then I really like the last, I believe it's the last track, which is no.
Yeah, you said like 20 no's ago.
Yeah, I was like, so I really like that one, like the little church choir-y beat, and even the little, like, we'll get into the song, but even the little spoken word at the end was pretty tight.
Hell yeah. All right, I think we're gonna forego least favorite tracks just because it was so short. So we'll go ahead and go into any bars or concepts that stood out to us. For me, man, on Guess What Bitch We Back Ho, he had a line, I think it was Danny Brown, who said I'll fuck your bitch just like Wilt the Stilt. That shit just made me laugh. Like, I was like, hell
what
yeah.
Did he say?
Like, I'll fuck your bitch like just like Wilt the Stilt. No, like, hell yeah. Like, like bars. And then
JPEG Mafia on No.
Yeah.
Bitch, I ain't Baby Keem. My cousin ain't gave me shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shots fired.
The white boy in me keep popping up, I thought was funny too.
Yeah. I think on Hermanos, he says, I haven't done perks since they found Prince dead. I was like, damn. That shit just like, it caught my attention. And then I like the freestyle at the end, like the acapella at the end at no. Yeah. The freestyle at the end, that shit was pretty dope.
That was, man. That was a dope. I like the whole, where was it? It was too old for mistakes, too young for an accident.
Yeah.
Something about rainy days. I can't find that part, but
running lights, railroad, blindsided, trying to keep them knowing my guard up, knowing I can't fight it. Went left on the wrong path, somewhere got misguided. I'm like, dude, this shit is just fucking crazy, man. Living too fast, everything going slow. Seeds planted, I'm just waiting on the grow. Keeping to myself, everything ain't trying to show, aim for show. Like, I'm like, dude, this, like that's what I'm saying. Like, if he would have gave me shit like that throughout the whole project, I would have fucked with it. I mean, like, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't want to get away from, like, Danny Brown being Danny Brown. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I like when he gets weird like that. You know what I mean? Like, but that shit was really in the pocket for me.
What does he say? Depressed when it's sunny, so I pray for the rainy days.
Rainy days. Damn. That's what it was. Yeah.
I was like, damn.
I feel that.
Every time I found it, I went astray. I'm like, dude, shoot, yeah. That acapella shit was just fucking perfect.
And then JPEG goes, bitch body out of this world, she got Martian ass.
Yeah.
I guess Martians have big asses.
I like JPEG when he said, when I fucked her, I was thinking of you because I'm still a child. That's my inner child. It takes a weak ass ninja to take a weak bitch traits.
All right, gentlemen, we'll go ahead and check me out. You in trouble, check me out. Pay us now, check me out. Or pay me double. Go ahead and roll into the check me out. Anything we should check out from Mr. Danny Brown or from JPEG Mafia?
Do you want to go first, Addy? Do you have anything, and then I'll go? Or
I don't have much. I didn't I forgot to write stuff down.
For sure. I'll go first then. Danny Brown does have an EP with Black Milk that not a lot of people know about. It's one of my favorite projects from him called the Black and Brown EP. If you haven't checked out the Danny Brown Show podcast, check that out. And then two more things. They have a documentary on YouTube of the making of the album they did, Scaring the Host Volume 1. I haven't seen it yet. And then last but not least, speaking of comedy, they both are guests on one of my favorite shows that I always talk about, Kill Tony, JPEG Mafia, and Danny Brown, probably when they were working on the album. So check all those out for sure.
Hell yeah. All right, gentlemen, anything you would do if you were in the producer's chair and you had to make this better somehow, what would you do? For me, I'm like at a loss for words just because I think they did what they were supposed to do with it. I mean, like, so yeah. It's like I can't really say make it better. I think everything they did was intentional and they did it for a purpose. So I'm going to go ahead and pass on this one. What about you, Bebo?
I don't know, man. Maybe just get one feature, but that's about it. I was interested in getting your thoughts because I know, you know, you basically like your mainstream hip hop, you know, and this is not that. This is the antithesis of that. So
yeah.
I was curious to hear your thoughts about that. But no, as far as what I would change, I don't know. All I could think of is maybe like a feature, like you said. I know there's a lot of people that credit Danny for their style or getting them started. People like ASAP Rocky and, like you said, Tyler the Creator and stuff like that. So maybe getting one of those guys on there.
I could see that.
But that's all I can really think of that.
Yeah, that would be pretty sweet. Like some underground maybe name. Like I'm thinking maybe even like somebody like fucking Slug from like, you know, Atmosphere. I don't know. Just cause like that way, cause I can see both those cats going into a weird, crazy, strange, dark place. You know what I mean? So that'll probably be it. What about you, Addison?
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat where I couldn't really think of anything. I definitely maybe want to reevaluate that question if I actually get into the project, cause maybe there's something linking the two together. Being like you said, it's kind of like a extension from the full length project. So I don't know. But for me, for what it was, the couple tracks it was, I couldn't really think of really adding anything or taking anything away. Mm. Before I forget, I did want to shout out, check me out. There's a song I always bring up. I love it. By a group called The Neighborhood featuring Danny Brown. It's called Hate Machine, that track. I don't know. I always think about that track when I think of Danny Brown. So I guess I'll throw that one out there.
Hell yeah. All right. I believe it is time to give this thing a rating. So with that being said, Bebo, 1 through 5, what is your rating for this EP project?
Yeah, man, like Addison said, I like this EP for what it was. I think I got the crazy that I wanted, the experimental that I wanted, and then I love that they threw in like one subdued track with Danny Brown in it and JPEG. I'm going to go ahead and give this thing a solid B. I'm going to give it a 4.3.
All right, man. For me, man, it's tough for me to place it because like I don't know. It feels like to me like it did need to be made, but at the same time, it didn't need to be made. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to give it probably one of my lowest ratings. I'm sorry, but I'm going to give it a 3.5. Addison, sure. Addison, what about you, sir?
For me, I'm kind of in the lane with Bebo. It's definitely something that I enjoyed. Like I said, it's definitely not for everyone, but if someone asked me for some batshit crazy stuff, just like a taste of it, this is something that I definitely point in direction. So for me, I gave it a 4.4.
All right.
And I do want to say that the title Scaring the Hoes refers to that exactly. They know that their music isn't for everyone and that it scares the hoes away, hence the title.
Oh, I was pissed off because like I'm like, this shit wasn't even that scary. Like I was kidding, like, I thought this was gonna talk about Freddy Krueger. I was like,
that would have been dope, like a scary track or like a scary beat on there.
Yeah, right. Come on, like give some crazy wild shit, right?
I'm like, you know, spoopy stuff for the bitches.
Halloween, come on.
So if we could get a drum roll, we have a 81.3.
I think that's fair. I think, yeah. I know I say it after every rating, but I think that's fair. all righty. We'll go ahead and move on to our final EP of the night. That is New Heart Designs by Turnstile and Bad Bad Not Good. Bebo, again, what made you bring this to the forefront?
Yeah, I've heard of Turnstile before. They're a rock band, and I know that one of my friends was bumping them heavy. They came out with a 2021 album called Glow On that earned them 3 Grammy nominations. They're another band from Baltimore, so we got 2 Baltimoreans on the episode. And they had a couple standout tracks on that album. But again, this is a collaborative EP with Bad Bad Not Good, as you mentioned. And Bad Bad Not Good is a instrumental band from Canada.
Yeah.
And it's composed of 3 different dudes. And they have a long, long list of production credits. I didn't know who they were either, but I was looking up their production credits and I had no clue that they've produced for Daniel Caesar on the track Get You, which I love. They did Lust for Kendrick Lamar.
Oh shit. That makes sense.
And so many other tracks. So they decided to basically get 3 tracks from that 2021 album Glow On and just basically remix them with their instrumentals, and that's what this is, the New Heart Designs EP. And this one's only 3 tracks. So with that said, it was I absolutely love this one.
Yes.
I mean, again, it's only 3 tracks, so to me, there was no bad tracks on this, and the production was amazing. I thought that the remixes just felt natural. I mean, if someone who didn't know either of these bands would probably think this is like an original track or something like that instead of a remix. But yeah, I absolutely love this EP. Probably my favorite one so far, if I had to say.
I'm going to go ahead and agree with those sentiments, man. For me, I was listening to it brand new ears, man, and it was just nice and atmospheric and ethereal. I had to fucking play it a few times because I was like, okay, when's the next track coming? And I swear to God, Mystery rolled into right into, Alien?
Love Call?
Yes, man. Like, that shit, like, I didn't even know it was, like, 2 tracks because it just blended in, so transitioned so smooth, so... I got to give it up to these guys. They definitely know what they're doing as far as creating the atmosphere, creating the tone. Definitely pleasant music. It's one of those projects where it's just like, I have to kind of revert back to my college days. It's like, if you're at, it's like one of those projects you would hear, like when you're like at a party and then like you end up at some like person that you met's apartment because you're just like, oh fuck yeah, come with me, we're gonna just go smoke weed over here at my apartment. It's like, and like that dude's playing this shit and you're like, what the fuck is this? Like, this is changing my life right now. So it's like, that's how I would describe this project. Definitely go check it out. Good vibes. Easy listening. Yeah, go check out this project. What about
and you? I forgot to mention, I'm sorry, go real quick, what I forgot to mention, Turnstile is, they're not like a hardcore rock band, but I think they are considered like alternative punk. So, you know, the original tracks of music they do, you wouldn't be able to tell that with, I guess, or maybe you would with this EP, but Bad Bad Not Good, they totally changed the soundscape of what, you know, what they usually do, I guess.
They give me My Morning Jacket kind of vibes.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So okay. It's kind of like out there, very, especially the way like everything's kind of canned and produced. Like, it's just like really, like I said, it's ethereal and it's just like, okay, cool. I'm going to transport it to a different world. What about you, Addison? What were you thinking when you first heard this?
I kind of agree with everything you guys said. I definitely, from my punk rock era music, definitely just from the voice, the sound of the guy's voice, was like, oh yeah, this guy's definitely like one of those types of bands. I didn't, but like you just said, Bebo, I didn't know that it was a remix, so I already just thought it was just the original. So for that, I definitely was interested in hearing the track. Again, for you guys, like you guys said, yeah, I love this one. The vibes of it. Can't wait to listen to this one in winter when it's cold and I'm super depressed. I'm like, I'll throw this on. it just felt like one long ass track, which I vibed with. Like you said, it's like only 10 minutes or so. So, like you said, I didn't realize which one was which until like maybe I actually had to look at it. So, but yeah, like you guys said, it's a great vibe.
Hell yeah.
Can't really complain.
Hell yeah. We'll go ahead and go into favorite instrumentations. B, we'll start with you, sir.
I'm going to go with Mystery. This is the first one I heard off the EP. If you listen to the original, like I said, the instrumentation is completely different. What Bad Bad Not Good did with it, they kind of subdued it. I love the flutes they added on there, and I just thought the beat was dope in general. And Alien Love Call, I absolutely love that one too. I love the original a little more, But I thought the guitar solo on this one was pretty damn epic. And yeah, I'm curious. I mean, I should have told you guys to kind of just hear your reactions, what you thought the originals versus these were. But yeah, those I'm going to pick those two were my strongest two.
I'm going to have to go ahead and replicate those sentiments because those are exactly my favorites. Just two, like, they just lead off the project, like, so nicely and smoothly. And like I said, I think Mystery and Alien Love Call, like, those ones bleed into each other so much that I literally thought they were the same track. So I'll go ahead and go with those. What about you, Addison?
And I agree as well. I have Mystery. I put Good Flutes. And then on Alien Love Call, I said Good Guitar Solo. So,
hell yeah.
And Alien Love Call. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was not saying the other track wasn't good either, but it's just like these two, like you said, for both all of us, the standouts for sure.
Most definitely.
And I did want to mention that Alien Love Call is featuring Blood Orange, the artist who is also on the original too. It's, you know, so it's Turnstile featuring Blood Orange.
All right. Do we have anything for the check me out for this project, for this EP?
Let's see. I'm gonna go ahead and throw in the original Alien Love Call, the original track, because I, like I said, I think I do like the original a little better. And then, speaking of Black Milk, he actually has a track with Bad Bad Not Good called Now or Never. So those are going to be it for my check me out.
All right. We'll go ahead and move on to, let's just go ahead and give this thing a rating, man. Bebo, we'll start with you, sir.
Damn. I think I'm going to change my rating. I had it at a 4.8, but considering it's only three tracks and I did like all three tracks, I think I might go with my first five ever. So I'm going to give it a 5.
I'm going to go ahead and give it a 4.5 just because, like, I wanted more. And it's just like with three songs, I don't feel comfortable giving it a 5. It's just like, I got to see what you do in at least like five songs. So I'm going to give it a 4.5 just based on that rule for me. So what about you, Addison?
I am going to go with Beeble's original rating with the 4.8.
Hell yeah.
So I'm putting that in. Let's see what we got. Drum roll, please. We have a 95.3.
Sounds fair.
Hell yeah. Very fair. Yeah, definitely about where I would say that fucking lives, man. All right. So, since we don't have much going on today, I got another case study. This is exhibit number, actually probably number one. For why Mr. Marshall Mathers is one of the greatest rappers of all time. Me and B were just discussing that. He's kind of like, I compared him to kind of like Kobe Bryant and like Lil Wayne to kind of like Dwayne Wade, where he's definitely probably one of the greatest. And that's what where the game of hip hop's left off. So, my artifact for today is his song Infinite off of his self-titled Infinite EP, which was legendarily given to Mr. Dr. Dre after he battled off in Los Angeles for the Rap Olympics, and what actually got him signed by Mr. Dr. Dre upon listening to. So the track Infinite is a 4 minute and 12 minute track of good old 90s, the epitome of 90s rap. And I believe, man, it's just the mission statement of what Mr. Marshall Mathers Eminem was attempting to convey as what he was going to produce, what he was going to provide to the hip hop community upon his arrival. And with rhymes like I let the beat commence so I could beat the sense in your elite defense, I got some meat to mince, some scrumping into feet to rinse, like things like that. Man, like lines like that, it's just it's a cacophony of combinations and rhymes like that just fucking get me like, I'm like, as a hip-hop fan, I'm like, fuck dude, like you can't ask for more. Let's see. My rhyming skills got you climbing hills. I travel through your mind and chill like in your spine like siren drills. I'm slamming grills of roaches, spray with disinfectants, twisting necks of rappers till they spinal column disconnects. I'm like, dude, what the fuck? Like, you can't. And just like the beat is really ethereal and it conveys like we said, like the infinite kind of concept and stuff like that. Man, and one of my favorite bars is when it comes down to like, when he goes in the third verse, he's all, man, I'm assuming all responsibility because there's a monster will in me that always wants to kill MCs. I'm like, dude, like, there's just shit like that. You can see that this guy was formulated to become what he eventually became. And I don't think we'll see anything like that. We haven't seen anything like it since. So that's my exhibit for today on why Mr. Marshall Mathers is one of the greatest. So thank you. And I believe we'll move on to the news segment. Bebo, what do you got for us for the news today, sir?
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Shout out to Eminem back in the day. Mm-hmm. News segment. Yeah, I just want to talk about Juicy J. He's on a promo tour right now. He wrote a book called Chronicles of the Juice Man, a memoir. And apparently he's given up the drugs and the drinking and all that. And in the book, he's talking about how 3-6 Mafia really skyrocketed to fame after their Oscar win, and they were doing drugs at, you know, at an alarming rate because they were living in LA at the time.
Hell yeah.
And even before then, you know, in the interview I saw, he did an interview with Sway in the morning, and man, Sway's so fucking good at what he does, man.
he's so good at being Sway.
He deserves more credit.
Yeah,
he's so good at being Sway, man. And yeah, and Juicy J was speaking on just, you know, being from North Memphis, how a lot of the people he ran with, you know, how when you grow up in these poverty places and you always have to look over your shoulder, it leads to trauma, man, like, you know, mental health issues, and then therefore you go into drugs and drinking, and then that kind of fucks your life up, and half of 3-6 Mafia is dead because of drugs, and with mental health issues caused from, you know, different circumstances, and it's really sad. So he's at that age right now where he's trying to be an advocate for all that kind of stuff because he's, you know, he's lost a lot of close ones to that stuff. And he said that he was close to, you know, probably going down that same path, and he had to put a stop to it before he went down that road. And he said the last time he saw Gangsta Boo, which was the most recent member to pass away, she kind of looked like she was coked up. And I guess because it'd been a while since they had connected, he didn't really have the boldness to kind of just ask her or pull her to the side and tell her, like, hey, yo, is everything okay in your personal life? And that when she walked away, he just kind of had a bad feeling that, you know, she wasn't going to be with us that long. And, of course, she passed away due to, I think she took, like, oh, I don't want to fuck it up, but on the episode we spoke on it, I think it was fentanyl lace, whatever it was she took, and passed away. So I think that's super important. We've talked about it on certain episodes, like with the, I know for sure with the Larry June album, like how mental health is trickling into hip hop now. And I'm not sure if it's trickling into music as a whole. I would think so. I mean, you know, but specifically hip hop, which is known for being that kind of bravado genre that you don't speak on that kind of shit because it's weak too. And I just think it's cool how OGs like that are speaking on it now, you know?
I think it's just a sign of the genre.
The Nas album too?
I mean, like, I think the genre itself is maturing. I think hip-hop's getting older. It is.
That's true.
It did turn 50 years old, and I think what we saw is, like, we really didn't see what happens, because we saw what happens when rock stars get old. We still have, like, the Mick Jaggers and the Paul McCartneys, and they kind of do songs here and there, and it's like, yeah, save the world and shit like that, you know? Now we're starting to see what happens when hip-hop legends make it past a certain age. Like, I think we were kind of reluctant because we saw Biggie and Tupac die at such a young age, and I think for a moment in hip-hop, I think it was just kind of, like, stagnant because we're like, well, fuck, those were the leaders. Well, where do we go from here, you know? And it's like, then we saw the Jay-Z's, we saw the Nas's, we saw the LL Cool J's going to television and shit like that. But it's like, I love for cats like that who are still in the game, active in the game, and started realizing, like, well, shit, maybe I need to speak on this. Like, you know, I think it's all God, dude, I tell you the truth. Like, I think the fact that Eminem survived overdose, the fact that fucking Nas has gotten to live to his age, I'm like, by all means, Nas probably should be dead. Like, I mean, like, you know.
Yeah.
And so if the fact that they've made it this long and that they've grown to an age of wisdom to where they can impart that in their music still, you know, and like, and realize that, you know, like, and to mature to that level to where it's like, okay, yeah, I must inject this into my message and my music. And so I think hip hop's in a cool age. I think we're just starting to see what happens when a genre like that matures, especially because it's always been a genre for the kids. If you think about it, it's always been like high school kids, their backpackers, stuff like that. The up and comers, you know, and it's always been that. But now we see what happens with the longevity of, like we said, like stars like Nas and Jay-Z and Eminem. And it's like, we're being blessed with the wisdom of, like, hey, like, get your shit together, you know? And it's like, I think that's kind of like the purpose of what it was supposed to be originally. I mean, like, not to be, you know, contrarian or anything like that, but it's just like, essentially, I feel like a lot of people, I forgot who even said it. They said, like, I think it was Juvenile. Somebody said that they listened to Cam'ron and they were like, that was their goat because they're like, I grew up with him. Like, basically, he was like, but the father figure I never had. You know, I feel like, and I feel like that's the role hip hop's playing nowadays. And I'm glad that rappers are realizing that they have that much influence over people, you know? So I think it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
We're just in a different day and age, man. It's cool to see hip hop's maturing. It's not just about shaking asses. It's about like it's about balance, man. It's especially cats like fucking what would you say 89 Earthquake dude, fucking what's his name, Larry June, like, and so like Larry June, like the fucking album we covered, dude, is like, yeah, fucking invest, dog, like get health insurance, bro, fucking, you know, stop going to the club,
King's,
you're a king, bro.
King's disease. Well, King's disease also had all that shit too.
Yeah, so it's just like I'm just glad that these messages are making their way back into. I mean, I feel like they've been there in the underground, you know what I mean? But I'm glad.
That's true.
I'm glad to see that they're finally making their presence known in the mainstream. That's pretty cool.
Exactly.
Hell yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, because we definitely lost too many rappers. I feel like, dude, rappers and fucking professional wrestlers are probably like the most dangerous like profession to be in. Like, you're gonna die by 40, like, if you don't check yourself, you know?
I know, man. It's and a lot of people, like, a lot of them, and it's normal, like, they don't know they're going down a destructive path because that's all they know. That's all everyone around them does is, you know, drink and smoke and this and that, and, you know, it's normal.
Well, I think that's what's interesting too, is like the rock star path, right? Like, every, like, I think as human beings, we've always looked up to gods and the immortals, right? And that's kind of how you become immortal, right? Like, you do things that the normal person doesn't do, like do coke all night and drink all night, you know, like, and fuck 10, like, a million bitches, like, you know. So it's like, I feel like as human beings, like, we subconsciously aspire to that because that's what elevates us above the crowd, right? That's what makes us godlike, right? And we want to be immortalized and memorialized for that at the same time. It's like, you know, you want to be the rock star, like, man, fucking Ant went in there, he rolled 12 fucking blunts, and then he fucking chugged a whole fucking bottle of Hennessy, and then he fucking went on stage. Can you believe it? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like everybody wants to hear that story or create that story, be that story. You know what I'm saying? So it's like,
right.
I feel like it's comes with the territory of being in that entertainment industry. It's like not only do you got to produce like great music, but you also got to be some kind of character that does this fucking Herculean type of shit. And it's just like, I can see. And then like you said too, it's like, it also might be covering like past traumas and, you know, hurt that they had. That's really what I feel like probably what it is. It's probably just unresolved trauma that, you know, that's just been lingering. So a combination of all of that, put somebody on tour and fuck, you got some dead rappers in about 20 years, you know? So it's very unfortunate. And it, like I said, it kind of mirrors the same thing with fucking professional wrestlers. A lot of those cats, you listen to their stories, like they come from abused childhoods and stuff like that. And so it's like, I really think that's what it is. I think as human beings, we're all hurting. There's a lot of people who are hurting more than others, and we're just not resolving it. And so I'm glad that people are finally speaking up about it.
Yeah, now, and these days we have the platforms to kind of hear those stories where before we didn't, right? Like, if you didn't make it on a TV show, it was like, well, you'll never hear that story. Or now we have like a million podcasts out there on all these different platforms like YouTube or Spotify, whatever the case. Like, if you need to hear somebody talk about something, you'll find it.
Yeah, I give it up to Mike Tyson too. Like, him divulging.
Oh yeah, him all, too. Yeah,
him divulging all his shit. Like, that takes some serious balls too. And it's like, it's kind of funny too because like, I have more respect for him now than I did before. Like, before I was just like scared of him. Like, this is a crazy motherfucker. Like, I would never want to cross him or, you know. But like, the fact that he's explaining why he's that way and he's like so humble about it, I'm like, dude, like, respect, dude, because you're like, you're being honest, you're being vulnerable. Like, it's just crazy, like, the most feared man in the world is also being the most vulnerable. Like, I fucking love it.
exactly.
Hell yeah. All right, with that being said, I believe we're gonna go ahead and move on. Songs of the week, any songs that you've been messing with, any songs that come up, to anything that you just want to share with our audience, go for it. Be with your week. We'll go with you first.
Yeah, this one goes out to my buddy Phil. Speaking of substance abuse, I was smoking weed last night. And he was showing me the reggae band Fortunate Youth with a track called Burn One. And I was like, dang, this track is dope. Ooh.
There's always room for a good weed smoking song in life. Hell yeah.
And then one more, Blast and Bino Rideau came out with another EP, and I like this track called Doing Your Stuff. Just a little hood banger.
Hell yeah. You can't go wrong with any Blast. This one just came up on my iPod. My iPhone. I had it on shuffle. Takes me back to when I was doing cleanup with the homie Big D. He introduced me to this guy, Willer Walker Jr. He has a song called "Fuck You, Bitch." It's like country comedy, and like is I believe it or not, like it's like a comedy album. But I believe at one point this album was like number one on the country charts. And go check out "Fuck You, Bitch." But the song that I'm gonna share with you today is "Family Tree." It came up on shuffle, and it's just basically like this guy trying to fuck everybody in this girl's family tree, including cousins, uncles, aunts, grandpa. Like, it's just fucking comedy gold, and it just makes me laugh every time I hear it. So it came on, so I figured I'd share it with you guys. What about you, Addison?
Yeah, I got a couple tracks here. The first one's called Autumn Winds. It's for the Raiders theme song.
Hell yeah.
No, I'm just kidding, but you know, at least we won.
We got the
barely, but we won.
Yeah.
A win's a win. My first track is from a group, or I'm not really sure who they are. It just popped up. It's Everything Is Recorded featuring Sampha, called Close But Not Quite. You know, Sampha's got that voice, you know, it just makes me want to come. and then I guess speaking of depression, I believe September is Suicide Prevention Month. Nice. So, and one of the albums that's full of depression is that we did review, the Noah Kahan album. That's, again, I'm always listening to it. There's a track on there called Call Your Mom, which is about, you know, someone that's going through it, going through depression. And he's basically saying, like, you better, like, get it together. I'm going to call your mom. You know, he doesn't say it like that, but, you know. So, yeah, that one, just want to throw it out there. And then I'll just throw it out there. I believe the Suicide Hotline number, it's no longer Logic's number, it's just 988. So again, so you know, like I said, like we got you just talking about it, everyone's going through something. Mm-hmm. And all of us go through it, so 988, everyone needs to talk to somebody, talk to them. Oh, yeah. Talk to your friend, talk to family.
Yeah. All right, go get help.
Oh yeah,
it's all about balance, y'all. Big booties and therapy, it's right there.
Big booties and therapy.
Gotta balance it out, man.
Gotta balance it out. And then
booty and water.
Booty and water, yes. Make sure you say hi to
both. Together.
At the same time. All right, so for me, this week is my pick. And shit, man, like, it's been a while. I've been looking for albums to pick out. And honestly, there's a lot of albums by cats we've already gone over. Not that one. So I don't believe we've done a Post Malone album. Have we done?
Mm-mm.
So I figured Addison would enjoy this.
No, we have not.
I have yet to dive into a complete Post Malone album. So I've been wanting to listen to this since it came out in July. We're gonna go ahead and dive into Austin by Mr. Posty. So we'll check it out. Crack a Bud Light. Get some face tattoos and wear a Hawaiian shirt. So play along with us.
Speaking my language.
right. We'll do all that shit. We'll all wear Hawaiian shirts on the podcast next week.
Dance a little offbeat.
Yeah, dance offbeat, fucking smoking cigarette, fucking drinking Bud Light, fucking, it's all gravy. So we'll be checking out Austin next week by Mr. Post Malone. If you want to play along, as always, you can check us out on our Instagram at The Audio Files, ran by Bebo and Mr. Addison the Stallion. They do an awesome job with that. Check it out. Stay in tune for the songs of the week, plus also maybe the check me outs. They'll keep posting on that. But yeah, we'll be back next week with Austin by none other than Post Malone. Hopefully he gives a shout out. Check this out. I'll do a song with that fool. We go on tour, become best friends. Yeah, all that shit. So so we'll catch you guys here next week on The Audio Files. You guys have a good week. Peace.